There have been many times in my life that I've said or done something which were totally misunderstood. No matter how I would try to correct the misunderstanding, nothing seemed to change. No matter how much I wanted the truth to be known, it was all for naught. You know, it can be said that life is a continuing endeavor to define ourselves to others. Every time we speak and every time we act, we either add to or subtract from who we are. Nor is it always understood what we say and do is always understood with its original intent. To our regret, our words and deeds more often than we wish are misperceived, leaving the real truth being denied. This is just the reality of humanity. We think, we act, we speak, we hear, and we see through clouded processes. Thus, what is actually perceived is what we wish it to be, and not just maybe not what it actually is. Everything seems to be filtered by our own mindset, whether it may be true or not. In a way, it's a wonder what we are able to learn anything and that to have any clue as to what the truth is. Truth seems to be relative and clouded. This is exactly what we find in the Gospels and the story of Jesus' life. Time and time again, he tried to be understood among his disciples and followers. But it all seemed so hopeless. There always seemed to be that misunderstanding of who he was. The truth which was embodied in him seemed to be elusive at best. That is, the truth which defined him as the Son of God and not a Messiah of earthly political ambition. This morning's loved gospel lesson is really the story of Jesus using a parable in order to state the truth as to who he was and what was to happen to him. He used images which everyone knew at that time, the shepherd and his or her sheep. Since in our modern era, we know so little about the nuances of this parable, I will try to give a little information on the subject. Although the shepherd was considered to be on the low rung of the socioeconomic ladder, the job was extremely important to the economy of the day and extremely demanding to one's life. He or she received little compensation for 24/7 hours demanded of them. They not only had to graze their sheep and protect them during the day, but also protect them from thieves and animals of prey during the night. It was a very dangerous job with much responsibility, for they were held responsible for any lost sheep in their care. At nighttime, the shepherd would gather the sheep within a fenced or stone-walled area called a sheepfold. And if you, I wanted to dig it out, but it was underneath all the stuff of the nativity. But if you recall the nativity scene, the shepherd scene, you saw that enclosed area of a building and a fenced-in area. That was known as the sheepfold. Now, this served two purposes. One was to keep the sheep from wandering away, and the other to help keep out thieves and animals of prey. There was only one opening known as the threshold or gate. The shepherd at night would lay down across the opening, or they blocked the gate by laying in front of it. Anything or anybody going in or out of the sheepfold, that fenced-in area, would have to get by the shepherd first. In the case of large sheepfolds in villages and towns, they would have one shepherd designated as the gatekeeper who was employed just to maintain security during the night. Spending so much time with his or her sheep, the shepherd naturally formed a special bond with them. The sheep would in turn become trustful and loyal to the shepherd, to the point that the sheep would not listen to or follow any stranger. In fact, they would run away from any stranger, any strange voice. There was also a special and unique language which each shepherd used with their flock. They were sounds which would be foreign to anyone else, or even to sheep of another flock. This special bond between a conscientious shepherd and his sheep often involved giving each sheep a name. All this was commonly known in Jesus' day. Therefore, the imagery of the shepherd, the sheepfold, the gate, and the special bond was completely known. Now, Jesus begins his parable by establishing that there are those who try to steal sheep by trying to breach the sheepfold by avoiding the gate. The gate being the only rightful and true way of access and egress of the sheepfold. Of course, the motivation of those who avoided the usage of the gate did not have the welfare of the sheep in mind, but the intruder's self-interest to either steal or destroy. This illustrated the fact that Israel had a long history which involved false prophets, and a long history that involved rebel leaders who were out to mislead the people. The truth that they uttered was corrupt, filled with half-truths and lies, in order to promote their own self-interest. They were constantly trying to steal the trust and loyalty of the people. And this led to mistrust and skepticism toward any prophet, any teacher, or leader. It seems as though nothing has changed much over these many centuries. This is especially true today, when truths are disguised as lies and lies proclaimed as truths. It has gotten to the point that we do not know who to believe and who to trust. Surveys have shown that, by and large, we as a people do not trust much of anything anymore. All of our institutions are under question, and it's gotten to the point that not to believe in any of them, from government, business, education institutions, the church, and the elusive American dream are no longer believed or trusted. In one way or another, they have all contributed to a sheepfold of people who do not trust anybody or anything, who may be trying to inject a sense of truth. Therefore, truth is no longer recognizable. And you know, this is exactly what Jesus was facing. Therefore, we know exactly what he was trying to tell in this parable. Jesus was the embodiment of truth, for God is the ultimate truth. This is why Jesus said he was the gatekeeper to the truth of life, life itself, as lived by him. The only way in or out of the sheepfold is for the sheep to walk by the way of the sheepfold gate. The problem is that it has become that we can no longer recognize the way to the gate. Humanity has created a maze which routes getting to the threshold. In order to show the way through this maze, though, God had to take to the form of mankind in order to show the way through it all. He became the good shepherd, so to speak. This is brought to life in Jesus' words. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. It is this truth which we believe. It is this truth which brings us meaning to life, especially in his other words, which he said, I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Even though we may be lost and wandering children, God had to make known his love for us. Even with this truth, no matter what Jesus said or did, there was still that element of misunderstanding and even skepticism. His words alone, nor his miracles, were sufficient. There had to be more. We are told the true and devoted shepherd often had to lay down his life or her life in order to save their sheep from thieves and dangerous animals of prey. This was the ultimate act of the occupation. It often was not just for the responsibility of the job, but it was an act of love for these defenseless creatures in their care. You know, it is said and accepted that the ultimate act of love is to lay down one's life in order to save the life of another. Such an act is to see the truth in love. This is why Jesus had to suffer death, so that the truth of God's love may be known to us, defenseless creatures. But even that was not enough. It was not enough for us to believe the depth of this love. The truth about this love would only be understood and accepted and believed upon Jesus' resurrection. For in conquering death, we would know the truth of his message, the truth of his life, and the ultimate truth of God's eternal love with him. It is so easy, you know, to be distracted with what is going on around us, and so easy not to believe in anything. But let me say it and put it this way. There is a truth through faith that we believe that is the eternal love of God. We are assured of this truth by the fact that the disciples, just think of this, the disciples would not eventually die for something they knew that wasn't true. They died because they had experienced the truth of the resurrection, and thus they shared that truth with us. This is the truth which overrides all lies, all alternative facts, and all false assumptions. This is the truth. This is a truth which can only be discovered as we live the truth of God's love among us, and as we share this love with each other. That is the truth that we live by. There is truth. Don't be fooled. Don't be misled. It's there. And it lives right within all of us right now. Amen.